This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. death toll in Iraq during the month of November, only 4 days old, grew to 23 Tuesday as guerrillas mounted fresh attacks on occupation forces. Insurgents killed an American soldier and wounded two others in a roadside bombing Tuesday in Baghdad. That followed a mortar barrage Monday night in central Baghdad. One mortar hit a U.S. Army camp of the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, causing no damage or casualties. Another soldier was killed and one other wounded when their vehicle struck a landmine in Tikrit, and witnesses said insurgents ambushed a U.S. patrol Tuesday with rocket-propelled grenades west of Baghdad in the volatile Sunni Triangle. The U.S. administrator of Iraq has decided to conditionally support the creation of an Iraqi-led paramilitary force composed of former employees of the country's security services and members of political party militias. Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council wants the force to include a domestic intelligence gathering unit and have broad powers to conduct raids and interrogate suspects. Such characteristics would make the proposed force different from those created under other security initiatives undertaken by the Americans, who until now had expressed opposition to the idea. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. No countries have contributed forces in Iraq since the United Nations Security Council approved a new resolution last month. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there for nearly a year. And Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A railroad inspector and a game warden used the age-old trick of a little hot water to free three mountain lion kittens stuck to a railroad track. Pat O'Rourke was inspecting rail lines near Butte, Montana on Friday when he saw three kittens frozen to the track. A co-worker arrived on the scene with a thermos full of hot water, and O'Rourke freed the frozen kittens. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I wasn't expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is Tony Trupiano on this Wednesday evening. And we got a lot to talk about today, and we're going to get to it in short order. The number, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. I want to go back to the first hour of yesterday's show as I had brought up a letter. I had read a letter that had been circulated in my community about an issue in the school district. Somehow, some way, you folks interpreted my comments as being anti-Islam or anti-Muslim, and I still don't get how that happened. We'll get to that in a minute. I was trying to make two points yesterday, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is that this created quite a controversy throughout the evening, and although I will tell you the majority of people, some 80% or more, understood where I was coming from, it's that 20% I'm speaking to right now. The point I was trying to make was that the language in the letter was too harsh, that it sounded like a physical threat. I had asked for your comments. The second part of that was a caller during the program that I asked not to call back, period. You need to understand that there's a history with this caller, not only with me, with a lot of hosts on the IE America Radio Network. You'd be foolish to think that he gets on every single time he calls, because he doesn't. That's issue number one. Issue number two, I asked him a simple question. I was not disagreeing. And see, this is where I don't get where you folks were coming from. I was not disagreeing with the caller. I was asking him. He said, that statement could have meant one of a thousand things. I said, give me one alternative. He wouldn't or couldn't, either way doesn't matter, right? Do that. My temper escalated when he kept on going back to, it could mean any one of a thousand things. I wasn't disputing that. I wasn't disputing that in the least. What I was trying to do was to get him to do the responsible thing, which is give me an alternative. Now, many of you know that Mike has a Truth Seekers forum, and on the forum today, this little bit, this 20 or 30 minutes of the show yesterday, ended up being an ongoing discussion on the Truth Seekers forum. Some of you got it, some of you didn't. That's fine. A, I am not anti-Muslim. B, I live in a community where there are a great many of them that I vote with, I vote for, I support for local office, my kids go to school with, they play football with them, we go out to dinner with them, as we do everybody in this community. I live in a very diverse community. So for you to think that I'm anti-Muslim or anti-Islam is ridiculous. I don't know where that came from. I really didn't get the genesis of that thought. I didn't present it that way. I went out of my way not to present it that way, but you folks chose to hear it anyway. So let me get that issue out of the way. Number two, I did not like the letter that was sent. There was a suggestion that perhaps there was a language barrier involved here. Now, I understand where that suggestion comes from, and I admitted that yesterday. But I also said that if you are going to be the executive director of a group that represents, now I know a lot of Arab Americans, many of them, most of them, have absolutely no problem with the English language. Somebody that's the executive director of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee should not have language barrier issues, in my opinion. That's all I was saying. You folks thought I was absolutely out of my freaking gourd. I don't get it. Am I defending myself? I'm explaining myself. I will never ask you to completely agree with everything I have to say. But for you to go out and position what was happening on this program yesterday as me disagreeing with callers, I was challenging a caller. I wasn't disagreeing with him. He wasn't saying anything to disagree with. He wasn't giving an opinion. He was just shooting his mouth. And trust me, we've had lots of issues with this particular caller. That's number one. Number two, I didn't like the language in this letter. I thought it was hostile, and I think that what it did more than anything was to create a bigger problem for the community, the Arab American community. You don't come out with what I perceive to be a physical threat. We did take calls. People did disagree with me. I said, yes, that's very, it could have been what he meant. Got emails, said it could have been an issue of economics. It could have been a legal threat. I don't disagree with any of that. That's the whole point of me bringing it up to begin with. All right, so I think that now I've answered that part of it. Now, for those of you that felt the need to write me with personal insults, you don't know me. You don't know me. I've been doing radio a long time. I've hosted more programs than you've ever listened to. You know, you got to give me a chance. I am not new at this. So you just need to lighten up a little bit. I wasn't disagreeing. See, this, and this all came, you guys were listening to the callers and you weren't listening to me. And that's where the problem is. And if you had a chance to listen to the program again, you'd know that I'm telling the truth. You'd absolutely know that I'm telling the truth. All right. So I promised that I would tell you what happened, because during the show last night, there was a meeting going on at the school, and that's what this was about. So I promised that I would bring you up to date on that. Again, if you want to join us, and I'll do that in a second, if you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937 or tony@thetonyshow.com. All right. There was a meeting. There were two issues at work here, so you understand now the entire issue, that the Arab American community where I live had asked for time off to honor their Ramadan holiday. They call it an Eid or an Eid, E-I-D holiday. The problem came in as they don't know exactly when it ends because it works on a lunar cycle. I really cannot explain it. If somebody can, please call and explain it better than I am. So the discussion was, and the agreement that was made was that they would take the whole week because it will end during the week of the American Thanksgiving holiday, that they would get that week off. Here were, and these were not issues that I was familiar with last night. I am now. There were two issues at work here, that the assistant superintendent of the school district entered into a collective bargaining agreement or opened the collective bargaining agreement with the teachers union without school board knowledge. They did it without school board knowledge, and they struck a deal without school board knowledge. That is wrong. When it was discovered that that happened, the superintendent pulled the deal off the table. That's why the letter was sent, with what I perceive to be a physical threat. I was not alone in this. Many people in this community felt this way. It was not an anti-Arab sentiment. It was an anti-posture sentiment. I don't think that you fight fire with fire. It doesn't always work. So that's where I was coming from. Was the letter referenced in the meeting last night? Yes. Great question. Glad you asked it. It was referenced. It is being dealt with. It is being investigated as it should be. It should have been taken as, even if it were a legal threat, it needs to be taken seriously. So if it wasn't a physical threat, that's fine. It is a legal threat nonetheless. It is being taken seriously. The language did sound physical to many people that wrote me and that even called the show. What is the outcome? At this point, I don't know the outcome because nobody knows the outcome. They've had the meeting. The meeting lasted well into when this show started. As a matter of fact, to my knowledge, the meeting was not over even after this show ended. It went quite a long time. Community members were allowed to give input. As my understanding, teachers were allowed to give input. The assistant superintendent was questioned by the school board's attorney in an open meeting. So everything is up front, out front, and now they're dealing with the issue. There will be some kind, I would think, disciplinary action against the assistant superintendent for doing this behind closed doors without the knowledge of the school board. And that's where we stand now. So I I'm not making excuses. I'm just explaining where I was coming from yesterday. And frankly, if you had a chance to go back and listen to the show again, what you ended up doing, folks, was agreeing with callers that weren't listening to what I was saying. There was nothing anti-Arab, anti-Islam, anti-Muslim at all in my dialogue. And I went out of my way to say it wasn't about that issue. It was about the letter and the language in the letter. All right? If you would like to discuss it, if you would like to discuss it further, feel free to give me a call, 1-800-825-5937, or send your comments via email to Tony, Tony at thetonyshow.com. Either way you want to do it is fine. There's obviously lots of other things going on in the world, and I'd like to get to some of those tonight as well. As, you know, I'm keeping an eye and very closely keeping an eye on what's going on in Iraq and what's going on domestically. And there's a whole lot going on in both overseas and domestically. I'm getting more and more concerned, and I want to address an issue. I got an email from somebody last night in regards to Denis Kucinich. This has happened over the course of many of the shows that I've done over the last 6 or 8 months. This idea that Kucinich isn't quote-unquote electable, and therefore we shouldn't give him, airtime. We shouldn't discuss him, and I don't agree with that. We're too early in the process. Now, if you're strictly a numbers person and you look at the numbers, you know, perhaps Denis Kucinich at this point isn't electable. In most of the polls and in the early primary polls, he's not polling well. He's not polling well at all. He's in some polls, he's not even pulling 2% of those polled. Keeping in mind that is just a sample. There's always such thing as an upset. But the question I want to ask you today is, why is he not doing well when he seems to resonate with so many of you? That's my question to you. Why is Denis Kucinich not doing well in the polls if so many of you want him? And that's the part I don't get. Now, I'm not gonna pull any punches here. I'm supporting Howard Dean. I think he's the real deal. And you know, part of the deal is you've got to work within the system. And I think that Denis Kucinich is a fine man, and I think that Denis Kucinich would be a great president. I don't think he's the guy we need right now. Now, that's just my opinion, and you can disagree with me. I have no problem with that. But I need to know why he doesn't poll well. Why is he not perceived by the general public to be the guy? Why is he not the man? And maybe you can help us educate people. Just so you understand, I understand the kind of show Mike does. I'm not Mike. I'm here tonight because Mike has had some dental work done. He's going to be off for a few days. I'm helping him out. I do empowerment radio. And what I mean by that is I like to learn. I like to share. I like to focus on issues and solutions. That's what we're into right now. 1-800-825-5937. 5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a break, and we'll be back the other side of this.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. That's the number. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Somebody just sent me an email, told me to get over myself and get on with the events of the world. I'm getting there. I promise. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. Let's go to the phones and welcome Bill in Chicago. Bill, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Bill?
Yeah, hi, Tony. The reason Dennis Kucinich doesn't poll well with the general public is because the general public doesn't even know he exists.
But where does that responsibility fall, Bill? Does that fall with him and his campaign?
I don't think so. I think it's more with the media. You know, you never see a soundbite out of him on the nightly news, which is where most people get their news. You don't see him. Even in the debates, he's almost looked over. It's just,
you know,
where it is.
Here's my concern. I happen to like Dennis. I've done a lot of homework here. I like Dennis Kucinich. I like his message. I like the ideas that he represents. I like his fierce independence and freedom. And you would think that that would really ignite people, and it doesn't seem to do it. Now, so that's why I asked the question, Bill.
Well, it does ignite people, and it ignites people who actually take the time and effort to see him or to seek him out. But the news services just don't do that, and the vast majority of the people in this country get their news from those sources, and so he doesn't poll well with the general public, but he does poll well with people that have seen him and have seeked him out.
You know, and that's the one thing. I got an email from a lady a couple months back when I was doing the show during the day, and she had met Dennis Kucinich at an event in California. It was one of those living room meetings, you know, it's like a coffee or whatever.
Right.
And she said she walked out of that room never feeling more optimistic about this country in her life.
Well, that's the way he is. And you know, I plan on voting for him in the primary, even if he doesn't stand a chance. Just I'm voting for his message.
I think that's awesome. Bill, I think that's what people need to do. You need to vote your heart. You need to vote what you feel is right. And people shouldn't vote polls. You know, people should never vote a poll. They should never vote for someone else because the guy they really want couldn't win. Now, in the general election, and I'm on record as saying this, whoever the Democratic candidate is, we need to support that person. We need to vote for him. We need to work for him.
Well, I can go along with that sort of. I mean, I may hold my nose and vote for Lieberman if it got around to that. But boy, I don't know.
It's not going to get around to that.
I might go green if he's there.
You know what? I don't. You know, you want to talk about two guys that I don't think stand a snowball's chance in hell, and that's Gephardt and Lieberman. And those are the two guys that, as a Democrat, we should be most afraid of.
Well, I would think so.
But I don't think either one of them hold a chance in hell of winning the primary, let alone a general election. If one of them gets through the primary, we might as well just give George W. the White House and go hide for four more years because it'll just get worse.
Well, if that's our choice, then because I think maybe George Bush's tactics will turn around and bite him in the ass if he gets reelected or elected the first time or whatever.
Well, you know, I did a little, I did some calling around this afternoon. I had some time between meetings today, and, you know, there is going to be a special prosecutor that's going to look into the CIA leak with the Ambassador Wilson, with his wife's name being leaked to the media. And, you know, there's a chance that the president will be indicted. I mean, there is a chance that that could happen, and it's a real chance. As a matter of fact, the guy we're going to talk to in the next hour is a Democratic insider. He can give us some insight into that.
Did you see the nightly news tonight?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
The ABC's lead story about a backdoor plan by the Iraqis to hold off the war, and it was kind of ignored by Wolfowitz and Pearl. And
well, because the plan was always to go in, Bill. The plan
I know what their plan was, but you know, if this kind of stuff keeps on coming out, you know, maybe they're done.
Well, let's hope so. Bill, I want to thank you for taking the time to call. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your message. Alicia in Tampa, Florida, we're going to get to you right after the break. If you want to join us, again, 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com is the email. Got some email to get to as well after the break. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Thieves and high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. There's the number, the email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We're going to get to some email in just a moment. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome, Alicia, in Tampa, Florida. Alicia, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's in your mind tonight?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay. You're what?
I'm well.
Oh, that's good. I thought you said wealthy.
Well, I'm not as wealthy as I'd like to be.
I had the wrong number.
You know, you would have had the wrong number had I had said that. No,
yeah,
I'm not.
I know. Hey, listen, everyone from Democratic Underground says hi.
Well, tell them I said hi.
Hey, whether it's you or Mike Malloy, we all say hi.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. Speaking of Dennis Kucinich, Tony, this is the problem with Kucinich. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Kucinich is what, you know, I would call, like, a really good person. I mean, a really good person, smart. But there are some problems. One, he's not married. Now, that doesn't sound like, you know, he's divorced or whatever. Doesn't sound like a big problem, but, yeah, it is. Hello, in today's world, you know, if you're not married and you're running for president, I mean, who was the last one who ran? Buchanan?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a 60s person, I must say that, I'm old, Tony, okay? You're supposed to now say,
no, you sound like you're 21 years old, Alicia.
Huh?
You sound like you're 21 years old.
Oh, no, I'm a little bit older than that. But seriously, Tony, you know, I'm a 60s person. I'm not, you know, I wasn't, you know, Miss Hippie or anything, or Ms. Hippie or anything like that. But Kucinich comes across as a little bit too idealistic. In other words, he wants to give, to me, at least when I've heard him speak, you know, everything to everyone. I'm a Dean supporter, you know, I'm honest. But I'm saying that wants to give everything to everyone, is it just won't fly. And another thing is that his delivery in some of the speeches is a little shrill. And I believe that, you know, I mean, you look at Howard Dean and you look at Kucinich, you know, neither of them is that tall. But there's something about Dean, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, it's shallow, but Dean has the it factor. And
well,
Kucinich doesn't.
I agree.
And unfortunately, I mean, that's the way it is.
No, he does have the it factor. At least at this point, he has the it factor. And, well, you know, let me make a point. We keep on hearing these stories that, you know, somebody's going to drop a bomb on Dean. The Republican Party's just waiting for the primaries, waiting for him to get.
They've already started. The DLC has already started, Tony. You saw the debates last night.
Well, you know,
let me
give you a little heads up on the DLC. What we need to do with the DLC is ignore them.
I love you, Tony.
We need to ignore the DLC. As a matter of fact, I'm not real fond of the DNC these days.
Mm-hmm.
But the DLC, they're profiteers. The DLC is just looking to make money off of somebody else's moxie.
And they think
it's Lieberman or Gephardt. They want Lieberman or Gephardt.
Oh,
they don't want Dean.
Absolutely.
They don't want Kucinich. The DLC's a farce. And
absolutely.
I'm fed up with them. I tried to dialogue with them. I tried to get them engaged in a real dialogue on real American issues. You know, we had them on the show one day, and the only reason that they would agree to come on the show with me is if they wouldn't have to take calls.
Now,
Alicia, that's cowardice.
Okay, where are the cojones here?
They don't have any.
Tony, I'm an independent, although I'm in the process of switching, you know, to the Democratic Party simply because, you know, I'm in Florida and I want to, you know, vote for Howard Dean, you know, in the primaries if he's the one who gets the nominee, which I hope. But, you know, you understand.
I do understand. Alicia, I want to thank you for your call. Thanks for calling us up and weighing in on this issue. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937 and the email tony@thetonyshow.com. I want to go to some email now. Diana writes, you have picked a subject I'm very concerned about. Dennis Kucinich is emphatically my choice for president, but the media are ignoring him in favor of two men, Howard Dean and Wesley Clark, whom I think barely deserve to be called Democrats. Yes, they are bashing Bush, which I love to hear, but if you look at the rest of their politics, they are not that liberal, at least not liberal enough for me. That's fair enough, Diana. She goes on to say, you may think I'm a conspiracy nut, but I think the media are deliberately giving Dean and Clark all the attention because the powers that be are scared to death of a real liberal like Kucinich. If a Democrat is going to be elected, they want to be certain they can live with him. Good grief, Wesley Clark used to be a Republican. He could even be a plant. Well, that's, you know, there's been some discussion that he is a plant. And if Lieberman is nominated, I will leave the Democratic Party and vote Green, says Diana. Well, that's fair enough. Another email from Lynn. Lynn writes that we got back from a Dean meetup. The banquet hall was packed wall to wall, and and a lot of the street were left with no parking spots, but full of cars with Dean for 2004 bumper stickers. Things are just getting bigger and bigger. I really wanted to know why the Kucinich people think he, Kucinich, is not showing in the polls. I've wanted to know this for a long time. I will listen patiently. Well, we seemingly are not getting a lot of Kucinich people calling the show. So I don't understand. I don't get why he's not resonating with the American people. But he's not. He's not resonating with them in a big enough way. He's certainly, you know, in the debates, and Al Sharpton gets more media after the debates over his humor than Dennis Kucinich gets over the issues. And I'm not bashing Kucinich here. I just don't understand why he's not resonating with voters. And the party, certainly the DLC would absolutely cringe if Kucinich, and maybe that's reason enough to vote. We're talking about the Democratic Leadership Council. And by the way, their website, if you want to go check out what they're doing, is www.ndol.org, N-D-O-L, New Democrats Online is what it stands for, ndol.org. And they are very, very middle of the road. They are very Hillary Clinton-esque for sure. And they do not stand for the party of the people. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, that is the God's honest truth. They do not. They are not a party. They are not an organization that stands for the party of the people of the Democratic Party, no question about it. The DNC we need to live with. They are the monster of choice, and we need to live with them. We also need to put the we need to put the screws to them a bit too. We need to keep them honest. I have real issues with the DNC as well, but those are more personal reasons that I won't get into now. I am getting a lot of email that, you know, there are a lot of Dean supporters out there. And yes, his base does keep growing. You know, there's a dialogue we're going to actually talk about this more in the next hour, that he doesn't, that, you know, he's going to leave it up to his supporters whether or not he should accept, the federal matching monies for his run for the presidency. Now, there are two ways you can look at that. If he doesn't take them, then the sky's the limit. He can spend all of the money he wants to, if he doesn't take a federal matching dollars. And so there would be a real benefit to do that. And obviously, if he gets enough base support, he will. And he'll do quite well. He's done quite well raising money. And again, I'm not getting anybody that's sticking up right now, either via email anyway, for Lieberman or Gephardt. Are the rest also Rams? Well, there's another question. Again, our number, 1-800-825-5937, and the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Somebody did send me an email, and let me get to that real quick. The headline is, Rage Erupts Over War Profiteering Clause. This was an item from yesterday. A decision by House Republicans to strip the Iraq supplement bill of anti-profiteering provision has outraged the Democrats. Some Democrats have accused the White House of pulling the strings on an effort to nix the language. The White House and House GOP leadership didn't want the provision in there, charged Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont and author of the language. The provision, included during the Senate Appropriations Committee markup with unanimous support but removed in conference, would have subjected those who deliberately defrauded the United States or Iraq to jail terms of up to 20 years and costly fines. Of course, it comes as no surprise to us that the Republicans would want this pulled. How would Dick Cheney continue to make his millions upon millions of dollars? Leahy said that privately some Republicans told them they thought it was a good provision. Senator Dianne Feinstein, another Democrat from California, asked another author of the profiteering provision called it shocking that it was taken out. Why, asked Feinstein, was it a good amendment? And certainly most of us would agree with that. So we're going to go back to the phones. We'll welcome Nathan from Rhode Island. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937. Nathan, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you mentioned Dennis Kucinich not getting much press, and I'm a Kucinich supporter, and I definitely believe that he's been getting unfair treatment. I mean, I think the debate's not the most recent ones, but a couple times ago he got 4 minutes, while Clark got 14, Dean got 18 minutes of actual airtime. So it's just actually pretty ridiculous, the slant that's being given away from his campaign. People have been saying, why doesn't he give up? And, of course, why didn't they say that when Clinton was at roughly the same point, at roughly the same time, in a race against the midterm president also?
Nathan, don't you find it interesting that everybody that talks about him, like you, I mean, you obviously feel very passionately about Dennis Kucinich. I'm assuming you think he'd make a great president. Why is it that you feel that even if we go with the assumption that the media is conservative, that they're all neocons, let's go with that assumption for a second. The reality is that they are covering, but they are covering other candidates. Why are they ignoring Dennis Kucinich?
Well, I think because Dennis believes that we own this country as a collective. I mean, these aren't words out of his mouth, but these are the impression I've gotten from reading the things he's said, that we own this country as Americans, and not the companies that have taken control of it. And I think that he's the candidate that makes them afraid. That makes them afraid that things like our public airwaves will be taken back by the public and no longer given.
Let me give you an opportunity right now. Give me three reasons why you are supporting and why you think others should support Dennis Kucinich for president.
The number one reason is getting rid of the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act fundamentally changes the balance of power between the different branches of government, giving a lot of power to the executive branch, and getting rid of, you know, judicial oversight, public scrutiny, things like that. And that needs to be gotten rid of if we want to live in a country that resembles the country we lived in before the Bush presidency. That's number one. Number two is trade policy. NAFTA and the World Trade Organization override national sovereignty. They're absolutely ridiculous, and they are helping to destroy this country. Three, they think that people who they help out a lot, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, will not do things like bring the FCC in line, make the FCC a tool of the people and not the tool of the media companies, which it is right now. I mean, Michael Pell used to run the National Association of Broadcasters. It's like putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop or whatever it's called.
Right, right.
And that's three. And number four is I think that we need someone who is willing to say that what we've been doing is wrong, what we've been doing is immoral, and are willing to take the money from the people and give it back to the people instead of taking money from people and shipping it offshore, giving it as tax breaks to the rich, things like that. And then Dennis will do that, and everyone else will pay lip service to it until they get in office and then back out.
Well, and Nathan, I appreciate all that. You know, the interesting thing is one of the most amazing shows I've ever done in my 8-year career in radio was the day I asked the question, can a truly, sincerely nice man be elected president? We had full phone lines for 2.5-3 hours.
And the answer was probably no.
No.
Because
the answer was
3%
no.
Of the market. He wouldn't scratch anyone's back beforehand, so they wouldn't give him any press time.
Yeah, the answer was definitely no, absolutely. Nathan, I want to thank you for taking the time to call. We've got some other calls to get to, and I appreciate you, your passion for Dennis Kucinich, and hopefully it swayed somebody tonight. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937. I am Tony Trupiano. I'm in for Mike Malloy tonight and tomorrow night. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Raymond in Michigan. Raymond, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening, Tony. I wanted to follow up on this discussion. And, I am not going to derate anyone of the Democratic candidates. I think we need a change in America, and our strategy needs to be is who is the best person who's going to get us to the place where we can make a change. And I look down the candidates, and that's why I'm a Wesley Clark supporter, and I have been for a while. And I think that, he's got the credentials to do the job, particularly in an area that's very important, the foreign affairs. I think he'll be strong in the economy, and I think his negotiating skills will be good working with Congress. what I think he shares, and he's owned up to enough of the progressive values, including getting after corporate welfare. But I think the most important thing is that he is the guy that I think will draw the crossover vote. He's going to get more from the independents and the Republicans. And, you know, and I talk to people in the neighborhood and out in the community, and there's a lot of Republicans who are willing to move over, but I think Clark is the only one they seem comfortable with doing that.
Well, Raymond, kudos to you. I mean, you're one of the few people that actually talks to his neighbors anymore. I think that's a lost art, so let me pat you on the back for that. I appreciate your comments. We've got to get to the break. 1-800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com is the email. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My
fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. Tony at thetonyshow.com is the email. Before we go back to the phones real quick, Mark sends me an email, and he's attached an Associated Press story that tomorrow, let me get it right, the AFL-CIO's largest union, the Service Employees International Union, will endorse Howard Dean for president. They'll announce that after a meeting with the former Vermont governor. That's good news for the Dean campaign. He continues to pick up major endorsements as well, and that does bode well for his campaign. Let's go to the phones. Welcome Chip in South Carolina. Chip, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind tonight?
No, I just wanted to talk about Howard Dean and everything. I am not what could I say about Howard Dean? I'm trying to choose my words carefully and all that. Fan, for lack of a better word and all that. I don't even know how he's picking up support, because it's just like he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants to be a Democratic, you know, candidate, but he wants to reach out to the guys that drive the pickup trucks flying a Confederate flag. And I'm deep in the heart of Dixie, and trust me, the guys that fly them Confederate flags aren't Democrats. And I mean, he would be lucky if he could either draw them into the Democratic Party or vice versa. You know, they if he went over to the Republican Party to try to gain their votes and everything, it's just not as easy as being in there and all that, because a lot of these people are stalwarts. I mean,
you know, Chip, you had called the show last night, and you said the same thing. And one of the things I said to you is that if he doesn't at least open up the dialogue, he has no chance at getting anybody.
Well,
at least he took the time to open up. Okay, maybe he didn't do it in the right way.
Right.
There's a statement today, and I'm going to talk about this in the next hour in more detail. But you know, certainly he's making an effort. He believes that we need to have a very serious and upfront discussion in this country about race relations. We still don't effectively deal with race relations in this country in a very real way. And somebody needs to have the dialogue. At least he had the balls to say it's time we talk about it.
He either needs to apologize for his remark, or he needs to drop out, because...
Well, in the next hour, I'm going to read his statement, and it'll all make more sense to you then. Anyway, Chip, thanks for your call. We're out of time in this hour. We'll be back in the next hour. Paulie Qualley will join us. He's a Democratic strategist. We'll get to know him, talk some issues as well. You're more than welcome to join us in the next hour via phone or email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. Be back on the other side of this.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. administrator of Iraq has decided to conditionally support the creation of an Iraqi-led paramilitary force composed of former employees of the country's security services and members of political party militias. Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council wants the force to include a domestic intelligence gathering unit and have broad powers to conduct raids and interrogate suspects. Such characteristics would make the proposed force different from those created under other security initiatives undertaken by the Americans, who until now had expressed opposition to the idea. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. No countries have contributed forces in Iraq since the United Nations Security Council approved a new resolution last month. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there for nearly a year. And Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops. President Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldiers killed in action in Iraq, according to White House officials, and when the Chinook helicopter was shot down Sunday, killing 16 Americans and wounding 20 more, Bush stayed out of sight at his ranch. White House advisors are struggling with the political consequences for a president who has said little publicly about the constant stream of casualties from this occupation. The quandary for Bush is finding a balance between expressing sympathy for fallen soldiers while not drawing more attention to the casualties by commenting daily on each new death. More IE America Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A 10-foot saltwater crocodile attacked a hunter in the Australian outback and clamped its jaws around his leg, releasing him only after the man's aunt punched the reptile in the snout. The victim was returning from hunting geese Saturday night when the crocodile lunged from a creek and tried to drag the man into the water. Other members of the hunting party grabbed the man, but the reptile did not let go until his aunt punched it in the snout. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Special guest host.
And welcome, everybody. It is I, Tony Trupiano, hour two of the Mike Malloy program. I've got a great hour planned for you. Let me first introduce my guest. It is Mr. Paulie Qualley. He is a senior Democratic strategist and former chairman of the Democratic Business Council of the Democratic National Committee. He joins us from suburban Maryland this evening to talk, well, politics. And, Paul, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
Paul, in the last hour, we've been talking a great deal about Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean are the two names that are coming up most often. One of the things that we were discussing, Paul, was that Dennis Kucinich doesn't seem to be getting any media attention. He doesn't seem to really be resonating with the American voters, but those that are supporters are very passionate about their support for Dennis Kucinich. And, of course, they're... Well, you know, it is interesting because I've never heard anybody. I just got an email from somebody that I'll read in a moment in support of Dennis Kucinich that is passionately written, beautifully written, and remarkably clear. So I find that really interesting. I know we've got a caller that's holding over from the last hour. I'm assuming that he's going to talk about that. So let's bring Jim in Iowa on, Paul, and welcome him to the show. Jim, what was on your mind tonight?
Well, since you're talking about these candidates,
speaking as a supporter in general of the Democratic Party, what I would like to see is none of these. I don't want to see these candidates running against each other. I realize that's they're tempted to do that. But what I want to see these people do, all these candidates, is to run against, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it or anything, they should run against Bush, and whoever runs the best against Bush, because that's the only thing that really counts. This is not a matter of these candidates against each other.
Jim, and you're saying in the primary season that the candidates should run never against each other. It should be about the president only.
I want to see who can most effectively run a campaign against Bush, because that's really the only thing that counts.
All right. Paul, you want to comment on that?
That's interesting, Jim. You know, Ronald Reagan on the Republican side always said that the 11th commandment was thou shalt not criticize another Republican. And they have a tendency to be a little more cohesive, although the last Republican campaign between McCain and Bush got very ugly in South Carolina. The natural tendency in politics, of course, is to try to remain positive as long as you can. And then as the election gets closer, of course, the swords come out because people are energized and looking to extract as many votes as they can. It's the natural order of politics. It would be a wonderful exercise to see them mount campaigns against Bush and, in effect, have the voters shop the different campaigns and pick one. But politics doesn't work that way. So it is unfortunate, and sometimes they go over the line, but we are going to see attacks. We are going to see a competitive race, as they would say.
About the choice should be the one who can most effectively run against Bush. That's the candidate we're looking for.
Well, when you say most effectively run, does that mean that part of that equation is who can beat Bush, who is the most likely to beat him?
Oh, that's the bottom line. See, they can talk about their issues and all these nice things. We're pretty much in agreement in all those things. But that's not what's going to defeat the Republicans. The Republicans are going to have, what do they say, $200 million, $250 million. That's $250 billion. And they aren't going to use that to discuss issues. They're going to use that to crush whoever is running against them.
No,
they need a candidate who can go up against that machine.
Well, you need a candidate and you need the money. That's the other piece, is raising the money on the Democratic side. And just in the last couple of days, Howard Dean is now going to put it to his supporters to determine whether he accepts federal matching funds or not.
I have a question.
That'll be interesting. Well, who do you support in Iowa? You're going to participate in those caucuses, I'm sure. Who are you supporting?
Well, I like Kucinich. I'm speaking from the heart now.
I understand, and I can understand the appeal that Dennis Kucinich has. You know, in Washington, he's always been viewed as sort of an odd duck. You know, he was the boy mayor and all of that, and a little bit of a fringe player in the Congress, was never considered a great legislator. But in this campaign, he has been a very effective communicator, and in fact, people who don't know that he's not, quote-unquote, a serious candidate, seeing these debates, are very often, you know, impressed with him and think he's a guy who, you know, could go the distance. The unfortunate thing is he has no money.
Well, that's exactly why the elitists don't want him included, because he's an alternative, and they don't want an alternative by elitists.
You know,
I'm talking about the establishment.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you for your call. You know, Paul, let me quickly just read this email that I got from Greg. Greg writes, as other callers have stated, Kucinich never gets any airtime in the national news or debates. Kucinich is a liberal. I think America has a tendency to put labels on people. I personally am not a liberal, Greg writes, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this guy's heart. He simply puts the power back to the people where it belongs. As long as people vote for only one or two issues that a politician represents, we're always going to have too much greed and soft money floating around. The problem with politicians, except for Kucinich, is that they can't see the future more than 4 years down the road at best. Kucinich has rock-solid ideas that are good for America for many years to come. Do I agree with Kucinich 100% of the time? Nope. but he has the courage of his convictions, and he stands up for what he believes and has a rock-solid plan to get us there. That's why he's getting my vote, period.
Well, unfortunately, the hard political reality is that if winnability is part of the equation, unfortunately, Dennis Kucinich, it's not a self-fulfilling prophecy, it is just a plain political fact of life like gravity, cannot win this race. He's just not raising the money. Unfortunately, with the system we have today, he will not be a serious candidate. It doesn't mean he can't contribute to the debate. And, you know, on the Republican side, remember candidates like Gary Bauer, Alan Keyes. I think Kucinich is being treated by the media similarly to the way those candidates were treated on the Republican side. The media has a tendency to characterize serious candidates and then not-so-serious candidates. We know who those are in this race. And, of course, they're handicapping changes. You know, Kerry was supposed to be the leader for a month or two or three back there, and now, of course, John Kerry is 30 points behind Howard Dean. Howard Dean came out of nowhere. He's now looking like an establishment candidate because he has all this money. Gee, Howard Dean, you know, he was a joke to the establishment 2 years ago.
And you know, and some would say that they're still taking him as a joke, but you're right, he is the front runner, Paulie Qualley.
Oh, nobody's taking him as a joke today, Tony.
Well, I would hope not. 1-800-825-5937 is the number. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Fred in New Jersey. Fred, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I've got a question, generally about all the candidates. I guess this has to do with Kucinich versus everyone else. Over the past few elections, I found myself voting more toward Greens and third-party candidates, even though I know they really can't win. But I find it hard not to vote my conscience. Now, I, as much as everyone else, I don't want Bush to get back into power, so I'm leaning towards voting towards a Democrat. But my feeling is most of them are as bought up by corporate interests as are Republicans. I'm just not sure how I can vote my conscience.
Okay, and just a statement, or were you looking for some guidance?
I'm just not sure. I mean, all these Democrats seem to be spending a lot of time bashing Bush, but I guess I'm not getting a feel from anyone. I guess with the exception of Kucinich, where they really stand and, you know, how they intend to bring the government back to the people here. So, I mean, I'm just not sure. I can't get behind this whole vote for whoever has the best chance of getting someone else out, this whole lesser evil mentality. I think it's a problem with how we vote in this country.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure you're wrong. I think that is indicative of some of the problems for the few of us that do vote in this country, because the reality is there are still far too few of us eligible to vote or even registered to vote that actually exercise that right. You know, Paul, this should be a concern for people as we are watching the infrastructure of this country really slowly erode. And I think that, you know, this president came in with a morals clause, if you will, attached to his mission. He's abandoned that in a great way. So how do people choose candidates that are, quote unquote, electable, that can find themselves closer to their own ideology, their own personal ideology? Or is that just really a pipe dream?
Well, without sounding too much like a political scientist, you know, we have a two-party system that is not a parliamentary democracy. And, you know, that means essentially that both political parties will have to move towards the center to win votes. So there has to be some overlap in a two-party system. In a European system, a country like Italy, there may be 20 or 30 political parties, and Fred would have a candidate that he could vote for with his conscience, and it would matter because perhaps that candidate and five others would form a coalition in the parliament. Where I would part company with Fred is I can understand his sincere belief that maybe the Greens are better or Nader was better. But I have to remind anybody that when it comes time to vote, the fact that a handful of votes would have made Al Gore president today, maybe that's not perfect, Fred, but anybody who likes the Greens and might vote for Nader or likes Dennis Kucinich would have to agree that Al Gore would be a much better president and that the administration would be populated by better people, that the judges being picked would be better people, and a whole host of other issues. So that's where, to my way of thinking, your vote has to be a very, very serious issue when it comes time on Election Day. It's a tragedy that Al Gore did not get elected because we had a third-party candidate in the race.
All right. We're going to quickly try to get another call in here before the break. Remind everybody, my guest is Mr. Paul Equally. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll welcome Patrick in Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, you know, the new Democrats are on their way out. We found that out in the Mississippi and Kentucky gubernatorial elections. Al Gore does not represent Democratic core values. We found that out in 2000. We found that out in 2002 congressional elections. And it's going to take a true Democrat, and that's Congressman Dennis Kucinich.
All right. Patrick, thank you for your comments. Paul, let's take a quick break. You can comment on the other side of this. 1-800-825-5937. Tony at thetonyshow.com. We take the break and come right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out.
Jeez.
You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Yeah. Right. Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffens live.
Oh, nice.
Come on.
The best awesome progressive talk radio. Weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back again. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. My guest, Mr. Paul Equali, he's a senior Democratic strategist and former chairman of the Democratic Business Council of the DNC. Paul, let's talk, if we can, for a minute about the gubernatorial races in Kentucky and Mississippi. Kentucky surprised me. Mississippi, not so much. I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was an anomaly. I really did find this one hard to swallow.
Yeah, it was a tough day yesterday at the gubernatorial level. It's now three in a row for the Republicans. And Kentucky, first time in 36 years that a Republican has won that seat. So, it is not a trend that we're happy about. We have redistricting going on in Texas and in other states that has slanted heavily towards Republicans, which is an effort to cement a permanent majority, or at least a long-standing one, in the House of Representatives. And I think that listening to the callers so far, I think there's a genuine desire to turn back this tide. And, I would remind everybody that pendulums swing in politics. They swing in the short term and in the long term. And I don't think people should be complacent and just say a pendulum swings and walk away. You have to do the work. You have to organize. You have to get out the vote. You have to have the right kind of candidates. But there are national moods that people go through, and 9/11 was a defining national mood that had vast political consequences, some of which we're only feeling now, and some of which, frankly, could even backfire on the president as he seeks re-election. So we're in an uncertain political time, and I can certainly understand the passion of some of the supporters of the more liberal candidates. But, Tony, I just have to caution folks, if it's about winning, if it's about getting the White House back or the Senate or the House, if it's about not just winning politically but doing the things for America that need to get done, we need somebody who can win. And, I worked for Senator McGovern. He was to the left. He was an anti-war candidate. He lost to Richard Nixon. We had a fairly liberal former governor from a liberal state that ran, Michael Dukakis, and he lost. We need to understand that we need to galvanize our base, but we also need to reach out to those swing voters. And I hope that the nominee is somebody who can do that. I don't think Dennis Kucinich can do that. And he's a very capable man, and I think has worked hard and done very well in this campaign in getting his message out, and his supporters should be proud. But I don't think he can win.
All right. And Paul, what you don't know is one of the questions I asked at the top of the show was why is it if people are so passionate about him that he can't win, or is the perception that he can't win? I think you've offered a very legitimate explanation to that. Very quickly, to the callers, please hold. Paul can only be with us for another minute. We'll get to all of the calls after we take the next break. You just said something, Paul, that's very important about swing voters. Howard Dean made what's now considered a very controversial comment about the Confederate flag in the back of a pickup truck and appealing to these guys. A lot of people in the South took offense to that. He really hasn't apologized, but he has explained where he was coming from. Has he made a mistake? Has he cost himself a lot of votes?
Well, he may have made a long-term strategic mistake because if, in fact, he can beat Dick Gephardt in Iowa, I believe he will certainly beat John Kerry by a significant margin in New Hampshire. He will have a tremendous head of steam heading south to South Carolina and to some of the other more conservative states. But in South Carolina, the African-American vote is very important. He could have hurt himself after New Hampshire.
All right. Paulie Qualley, thank you for being with us. If I don't talk to you, Paul, have a happy Thanksgiving.
God bless, Tony. You too.
Thank you. John and Diane, you'll be right up after the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break here and be back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Feel free to join me. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We've got some calls to get to. We'll do that. We've also got some emails to get to. Howard Dean, by the way, was in Tallahassee, Florida today. He gave a speech. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's go to the phones. We'll welcome John in Maine. John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Or some sub-service of that service.
John, are you with us?
Apple, but they have, acknowledged that, and they've written it to it. So
John, I need to interrupt you. John, you need to speak up a little bit.
Well, I mean, this is, what we're talking about right now is a start. Because you actually just gave me a really huge idea here.
John, can you speak up a little bit? Can John hear me? All right. We're going to go to our next call again if you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937. John, call back. I just think we had a bad connection. And the email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Diane in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. You're doing
a great job. Thank you.
You're keeping things stirred up, and I think Mike would be pretty happy,
Well, I hope so. I happen to have a lot of respect for Mike and Kathy both.
They're great people. Anyway, I had an epiphany last night when I was watching the debates, and maybe I could share this with you and see what you think.
Please.
I'm a Kucinich supporter. I watched the debates, and I looked at Dean, and he's a pit bull. And all of a sudden, I realized my epiphany was that to take on Bush, we need a pit bull. If I can make an analogy to animals, I find Dean a pit bull. I find like Kucinich like a shepherd, a uniting shepherd. Okay. And I see like Kerry and Mosley Brown and Edwards and Gephardt. They're kind of like well-trained Labradors. But you look at the Dean's eyes and there's just like fight there. And I think liberals and progressives and greens and God knows all Democrats are just like, so angry. I've never seen an anger like this, and we want a pit bull.
Howard Dean is hungry right now. He tasted some blood when he did well early on.
Uh-huh.
But here's what happened, Diane, and just allow this for a moment.
Sure.
They did something really interesting, and we got to give some credit to his campaign manager, Joe Trippi, on this one.
Oh, yeah.
What they did was they said, America, we're gonna do something that nobody has really ever done before. We're gonna use this technology called the internet. We're gonna lay out our program for you so that you can read it, you can kick it around, you can email it to other people. If you think there's some legitimacy to what we're trying to do here, would you please send us some money? And he has broken every fundraising record to date that a Democrat has ever held. And it's all based on this idea that I want to spend your money for your message.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's resonating with people. But he tasted a little bit of blood now. He's had some success, and he's going, damn, this is good.
And you know what else I noticed? afterwards, Paul Azan did an interview with all the main candidates, I guess what we can call main candidates, right? And they just, were like all smiling and whatever. And, Howard, the Dean team, used it as a photo op. Behind him, there was all of the supporters with signs just in the air. And very importantly, there was an African-American guy, like in total view with the Dean sign. And they just had this look. It looked more like a convention. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, whoa, that's a photo op right there, And I thought, my God, this is a really smart organization, and maybe this organization can take on Bush.
They get it. I mean, I think that the Dean campaign gets it. They understand what it's going to take. Now, I don't know enough about the governor's past to tell you if there's going to be some skeleton that's going to come out that's going to kill him. I would think that after what this president has put us through and the way this president has lied to us, I don't know. I can't imagine that there's a whole lot that they can bring out on Howard Dean that's going to make George Bush look good.
I agree. I really agree. You know, and one other thing, if I could mention it. Another thing, and I know you're a Dean supporter, where I got more comfortable last night in having him be my candidate rather than Kucinich, was the fact that I also realized he is just such an incredible no-nonsense speaker. And that's what's really resonating. So's Kucinich. He's a no-nonsense. They both have that going for them. They're not... And sometimes, like when Kerry gets up there and Gebhardt, mostly Brett, I love her, but she doesn't have a chance. But Kerry and Gebhardt and Lieberman, and, they just sound like it's just the same platitude over and over again. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, they resonate an older message. They resonate a party machine message that I don't think we want anymore. We don't want... We don't want the Democratic Party machine, quote unquote, as our representative any longer. It's going to take new thinking. It's going to take an honesty. And, you know, let's really just break it down. If a president says to you, listen, I've been in office now for 90 days. And let's just hypothetically say it's Howard Dean. He's elected the next president, and he comes on TV and he says, you know, I've been in office now for 90 days. Folks, this is even worse than we talked about during the campaign. And it's going to take some time to fix this. It's going to take perhaps more time than you're going to have patience for. But I'm just being honest with you. I think he's the kind of guy that would say that.
Yeah.
Where Gephardt or Lieberman or Kerry would say, I have a sound fiscal policy. If we stick to it, blah, 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 blah. We don't need that message anymore. Thank you, guys. We're done with that message. You can go retire your message now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I absolutely agree. I'm like really excited. I'm not, you know, at all discouraged. I mean, I'm just, Americans have been through this before. We've fought, you know, we've had social revolutions and we'll rise. We'll do it.
Yes,
I'm like really
will.
Optimistic. And you know why I'm optimistic? I wasn't that optimistic. I got busy. I stopped, you know, complaining and yelling at the television and, you know, and I
That's
started
the
like,
key.
Oh,
That's
it really is. I had a place to put my angst, a place to put my anger by, you know, I'm going to be really active this year and you know, fight. That's it.
Well, if you're with us in the next hour, I'm going to bring up a topic, something that I have been working very hard on behind the scenes to defeat a Senate bill that is being debated right now. It's Senate Bill 722, and again, I'll talk about it in more detail in the next hour.
So good for you. That's great.
The more you get involved, Diane, the more engaged you are in the process, the more possible you feel things can be.
Absolutely.
And
well, listen, Tony. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go on, Diane.
No, I was just going to say I didn't want to take up too much of your time. I'm taking up too much time. And I just wanted to say, you know, you're doing such a great job. You're doing great.
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say.
And I'll be listening.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's a pleasure to sit in for Mike Malloy. It truly is an honor. I did want to read a statement that Howard Dean made today in Tallahassee, Florida, that I thought you folks might have interest in. And Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean told the Tallahassee audience today that Southerners have to quit basing their votes on, quote, race, guns, God, and gays. Dean, making his first campaign foray into North Florida, spoke at a rally in Jacksonville, then addressed more than 500 people at a luncheon at the Capitol Tiger Bay Club in Tallahassee. He said Senator Bob Graham, who announced on Monday that he won't run for re-election, is on his short list for vice president if he wins the Democratic nomination to face President Bush next November. The former Vermont governor, who is a physician, also criticized Judge Jeb Bush for rushing through a law that allowed Bush to override the courts and restore feeding a Tampa woman who had been in a persistent vegetative state since 1990. Dean said he hoped to reassemble a coalition of conservative Southern voters like President Franklin Roosevelt had in the Solid South 70s years ago. Although his opposition to the war in Iraq and his criticism of the Bush tax cuts do not score well with polls in the South, Dean said he hopes working families will support his call for improving education and health care. So those were his comments today in Tallahassee, Florida. I do want to make a point. Greg had sent another email about Paul's claim that Kucinich just can't win. And I think that this I think this says it perfectly. He says, I personally don't care what other people say regarding a politician's electability. It's my vote and nobody else's. I understand that it's Paul's opinion when it comes to the electability of a politician. But I'm voting with my heart and conscience. That's why there's a primary. If my candidate, Kucinich, doesn't win, then I'll go from there. But I personally don't care what other people think about it. The candidate, when it comes to the chances of them being elected, I'm voting with the clear intention of my politician becoming the next president of the United States. It's my vote, and I'm claiming it. Buddy, I could not have said it better. I could not have said it better. And I do believe, especially in the primary, vote your candidate. Then you need to make some tough decisions. If your candidate is not elected, is not the choice of the party, then you need to decide if you can support, if you can endorse the candidate of the party, the eventual candidate, and move forward. I have made a commitment to doing that. And you know what? I'll have to swallow hard if it's Kerry or if it's Gephardt or if it's Lieberman. And I want you to know that at the beginning of the process, when Joe Lieberman announced that he was running for the presidency, I actually got pretty excited about that initially. I'm emphasizing that for a reason, because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm about to say. I initially got excited about Joe Lieberman. Then I started doing some homework, as we all need to do some independent work. Don't rely on this program, on Mike's program, or other progressive programs for all your information. Go out and do a little homework. And what I was finding was that the former Vermont governor was really echoing a lot of the things that I felt inside me. Now, again, I have absolutely no problem with Dennis Kucinich. Why am I not endorsing him? Why is he the guy I'm not going to go out and work for at this point in the primary? Because I like Howard Dean more. I think that he has not necessarily more charisma. Well, yeah, I think he does actually have more charisma, but I think that there's something about him organizationally and his team that I like, the people that he has surrounded himself with. I like it. It feels good. Again, if you'd like to join me, I'm Tony Truppiano. The number here, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-825-5937. Or you can send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Andy sends me an email and he says, I would be the first in line to vote for Dean or Kucinich. There is one problem, though, with them, as well as the other Democratic candidates. They can't win. Bush plans to win by black box voting. The media will only scrutinize him by having a 2000 rematch. For that reason, watch Al Gore. He will make a major speech on November 9th. There will not be any announcement by Gore then, but my prediction is he will be the Democratic nominee after a Dean Gephardt deadlock convention in Boston. Whoa! And thank you for the nice compliment, Andy. Wow! I wasn't aware that that Al Gore was giving a major speech on the 9th, which would be Sunday, I believe. If you've got more information about that, could you email that along or give the show a call and let me know where he's going to be doing that, and if there is a certain if there's a certain topic that he's going to get to, I'd appreciate it. 1-800-825-5937 and tony@thetonyshow.com. We go back to the phone and welcome John in Maine. John, we couldn't hear you and you couldn't hear us earlier. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Ah, that's much better. I'm well. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering if anybody is going to basically push against or push for, you know, war crimes against Bush.
Well, not at this point in the process, no.
Why not?
Well, because anything that you and I know is circumstantial, even if we think we know the facts. It's circumstantial at this point. But, John, I'd like to hear your theory as to why we should move forward on war crimes against the president.
Well, basically, how about complete lies? How about the fact that we know now that the whole Iraq situation was assembled since 1991. What's holding us back from prosecuting him?
Well, you know, one of the things that we briefly mentioned earlier in the program, and let me just get to the information now, as many of you have emailed me the story. ABC, at the top of their evening news today, said that there was a possible negotiated peace deal. It was all laid out, and at the bottom, at the end of the day, the Bush administration could have made a backdoor deal to not proceed with the conflict in Iraq, and they ignored it. A prominent Lebanese-American businessman said he secretly met with Iraqi intelligence officials just days after Secretary of State Colin Powell laid out the U.S. case for war in, at the United Nations in February, and the president of the American Underwriters Group Insurance Company, and known in the region as having contacts at the Pentagon, told ABC News he was first approached by an Iraqi intelligence official who arrived unannounced at his office in Beirut. They were ready to put the deal together. They could have done it. The Bush administration ignored it. John, my question to you before we go to the break here, does that constitute a war crime?
I don't know. Isn't that interesting, don't you think?
Well, it's more than interesting. It's disturbing, and again, it's another
extremely
illustration.
Disturbing, and it's totally corrupt.
Yeah.
And corrupt brings, you know, the question of whether or not we establish, you know.
Okay, John, we've got to go to the break here. Frank in Connecticut on the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano, 800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Molloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Getting a lot of great emails. Got some quick information on the Al Gore speech. We'll go back to the phones. Guys, if you're on hold, stay with us. We've got another hour. We will rock with all of you. Stay with me. This Sunday, Vice President Al Gore will give his third major speech on the administration's response to terrorism. The event is co-sponsored by Move On and the American Constitution Society. It's going to take place at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. Gore is expected to discuss the Bush administration's assault on our civil liberties and Ashcroft's attack on the Constitution. We'll talk about that more in the next hour. Did want to get back to the phones, though. Welcome, Frank in Connecticut. Frank, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, sir? This is my first time calling.
I'm doing well, and thank you for taking the time to call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just hearing about everybody putting down the president, and you know, I've been in the service for about 20 years, and I'm Puerto Rican. I'm from Chicago. I tell you, I'm very proud to serve this country. And when I hear things about the left and the right, I think we should all unite and basically trying to make sense out of this. Because Iraq was some place where these people were getting tortured, and people don't realize that we don't want to live like that. We don't like to see other people living like that. I was at Yale the other day, and I met a guy. He was from Iraq. And he had five fingers missing, and he was at about 5 years old when this happened.
You know, I just want to stop you for a second because we're just about out of time in this hour. Let me tell you that we were lied to by this president for the reason why we went to war. People understand that the people of Iraq were oppressed and tortured and the heinous crimes that happened there. This is not about the people of Iraq. It's about a president that couldn't be honest with us. That's what this is about. I'm sorry we run out of time. Grant, if you can stay with us in Washington State, we'll take you right after the top of the hour break, but we've got to do that now. 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. death toll in Iraq during the month of November, only 4 days old, grew to 23 Tuesday as guerrillas mounted fresh attacks on occupation forces. Insurgents killed an American soldier and wounded two others in a roadside bombing Tuesday in Baghdad. That followed a mortar barrage Monday night in central Baghdad. One mortar hit a U.S. Army camp of the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, causing no damage or casualties. Another soldier was killed and one other wounded when their vehicle struck a landmine in Tikrit, and witnesses said insurgents ambushed a U.S. patrol Tuesday with rocket-propelled grenades west of Baghdad in the volatile Sunni Triangle. The U.S. administrator of Iraq has decided to conditionally support the creation of an Iraqi-led paramilitary force composed of former employees of the country's security services and members of political party militias. Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council wants the force to include a domestic intelligence gathering unit and have broad powers to conduct raids and interrogate suspects. Such characteristics would make the proposed force different from those created under other security initiatives undertaken by the Americans, who until now had expressed opposition to the idea. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. No countries have contributed forces in Iraq since the United Nations Security Council approved a new resolution last month. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there for nearly a year. And Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A railroad inspector and a game warden used the age-old trick of a little hot water to free three mountain lion kittens stuck to a railroad track. Pat O'Rourke was inspecting rail lines near Butte, Montana on Friday when he saw three kittens frozen to the track. A co-worker arrived on the scene with a thermos full of hot water, and O'Rourke freed the frozen kittens. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will...
on the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody, to the last hour of this Thursday evening program. Tony Trupiano, indeed. If you would like to call us, 1-800-825-5937. 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Ed, I want to thank you for the email you sent. Obviously, I need time to read it. I will do that tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Looks intriguing, to say the very least, if not ultimately amazingly disturbing, and that'll make more sense to everybody tomorrow night. I've got some stuff I want to get to in this hour, but I want to make sure that you have a chance to talk to us. So let us go to the phones. Grant has been patiently waiting. Grant in Washington State, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind tonight, Grant?
Well, first of all, good job.
Thank you.
Especially when you made your point that this election should not be about Iraq. It should be about the United States and what kind of country this is going to be and where we're going. But what I really called about was I am a Kucinich supporter, and one of our lovely Washington State Kucinich supporters sent a note around recently that I thought made the point really well. It's just a couple sentences long.
Read it, please.
She said, speaking about a meeting, someone asked, is he electable? And the light bulb finally went off. This is the wrong question. The question is, will we elect him? Will we create the conditions that make Kucinich the candidate and the president? Asking if he is electable is a manipulation of language that takes democracy out of our hands and places it in the control of some amorphous influence other than the will of the people. Electable by whom and under what terms? He is my candidate, and I will elect him. I won't submit to the induction of disempowerment. I take back the question and ask it in a way that rallies our power as citizens. That's the end of your quotation. The point is, I think we lost the 2000 election with the DLC and Gore chasing the polls. Now we're in a position where even primary voters are chasing the polls. This is a corrupting and disempowering influence on our politics.
I believe that Dennis Kucinich at this point in the game has as much chance of getting his party's nomination as any guy out there.
I have no problem with Dean supporters.
I have no problem with anybody supporting a candidate, period. It is what this country is about.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
But
I don't want to hear...
get out there and make your argument. And, you know, along the way, listen, too.
Well, you know, and one of the, and I am really not trying to harp on this, but my whole point at the beginning of yesterday's show, and I got angry with the caller, I don't like it when we don't talk solutions.
Yes.
Don't just disagree to disagree. You know,
yes.
that advances nothing. Isn't it time we all got a little smarter about the process? I think it is.
But I think there's a whole lot of common ground. And I think if you have a serious opinion, compromise later, you know, not now. As long as you stay in the process, you know, stake out your opinion and compromise later, not now. Do you understand?
You've got to be present.
Yes, be there.
You've got to be present. If you're not present, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
And go to your precinct caucuses, for God's sake.
We had the lady in the last hour talking about getting energized because she's involved. I mean, she's excited now. She sees possibility all of a sudden because she's engaged in the process.
Yeah, I heard her, and that's all to the good. And I'm much the same way. My candidate happens to be Kucinich. I have the same feelings that she has.
Well, and it's a wonderful thing to have. Grant, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, and I'm glad you're listening. Again, we're going to go back to the phones. The number, 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Ed in Chicago, welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Tony. I just wanted to call and say that I'm supporting Howard Dean, but I sent Dennis some money because I'm glad I heard that last guy's comment. I mean, I really kind of resonate with Kucinich's message, but... Really, I would vote for any one of those Democrats over Bush.
Okay, and so I'm going to ask you this question because it did come up earlier. What if the candidates Lieberman or Gephardt or Kerry?
I'll vote for them.
Okay, and I think that I appreciate and I embrace your honesty, friend. I really do.
Well, the last time around, you know, I was like going to vote for Green Party. And, you know, my dad said, you know, don't do it. It's going to be a close election, all that. Of course, I live in Illinois, and it wasn't close here. I mean, Gore won here.
Do you think it's time for Al Gore to jump back into the pile and say, guys, I appreciate the work you've done. You're off message. I just need to kick some ass.
No, I don't. I think Howard Dean, my opinion is it's going to be Howard Dean and Wesley Clark. I thought that a few months ago. And that would be a very powerful team, because we'd have the doctor and the general. And those are two big concerns of, you know, the American people.
Well, there are a lot of people that would have absolutely no problem with the scenario you just laid out, Ed. I think that they would say, you know what, we can certainly live with that. And I think that I don't think Wesley Clark's ready for the presidency. I do believe he is the guy we need to bring in the swing votes, though.
Yep. I agree with that.
And so I would absolutely have no problem with that ticket at all. So, Ed, thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping the dialogue going. I do appreciate it. Indeed, I do. Just some really great emails, and I want to thank everybody for sending them along tonight. I just appreciate your support. I really do. We'll go back to the phones again, the number 800-825-5937. Something on your mind, give us a call. Ernie in Spokane, Washington, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just calling part in response to that previous caller who wants to prosecute Bush for war crimes, which I think is kind of ludicrous. And I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why it's so clear in some people's minds that Bush lied about the issue in Iraq. Could you explain that to me?
Well, he lied because he said that the reason for going there was, again, we'll go back to those infamous 12 words in the State of the Union, that there was evidence that Saddam Hussein's regime was trying to purchase blah, 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 blah. You're familiar with all that. That is a lie. That is a lie. We know it's a lie now. We absolutely know that's a lie. And that was really the basis.
Well, let me respond to that. I think that, you know, I think you've already made a foolish conclusion there that's not fair, and that you're ignoring the fact that British intelligence has said, or the British, I should say, have said several times, especially after that little thing became the cause celeb in the news, that they had several other sources that arrived at that conclusion. And it's funny that the President of the United States is being picked apart by that. In what to me would be a very unfair way, when the British themselves stand by that conclusion. All he did in that famous little sentence, as it's called, is report their conclusion as one of many concerns about what may be going on in Iraq.
Well, and again, as I said a little earlier, I have no problem recognizing that that was an oppressed state, that there was torture and rape and all kinds of heinous situations going on in Iraq. Those in and of themselves may be enough, but was it our job as the United States of America to go in and eradicate that regime? Was it the job of the American military?
Well, another question for you then is, what happens with, has everybody suddenly got convenient amnesia? What happened with UN's conclusion in 1998? That Saddam had chemical weapons, the chemical weapons programs, bio programs, had a nuclear program of some sort, although it was not clear to anybody in any reliable way how far along it was or wasn't. Bill Clinton himself said that in December 1998. Last fall, a year ago, when the situation started to heat up and President Bush had a couple of national speeches about the issue, all of the Senate intelligence people, including some of the people that are now harping at the president in return, Kerry and Jay Rockefeller, agreed with what was being said, and based on intelligence they'd seen, which I would assume is similar intelligence to what the White House has seen, et cetera, and it's their oversight responsibilities. Furthermore, Hillary Clinton, if you recall, a year ago about the same time, was quoted in the New York Times as saying that she knows Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, not only based on standard intelligence, but other information that she's privy to. Now, I guess what I'm getting at is that I can't figure out why some people, including apparently yourself and many others, are conveniently concluding that Bush lied. When, if that's the case, then everybody had lied or been terribly misled. Everybody was lying or had been terribly misled.
Well, you're right. We have been lied to, and we have been terribly misled. And let me also remind you of one other thing. The reason we knew that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction is because we gave them to him. The United States gave them to him.
Explain that.
Well, the whole Iran, it goes back to Iran-Contra. It goes, there was a point where we needed Saddam Hussein. Donald Rumsfeld was in on that. Our first President Bush was in on that. At one point, we needed Saddam Hussein to work against Iran. We gave them weapons in order to do that. We gave them the science. We gave them the formulas. We empowered them with the stuff that we're trying to supposedly find now. And there's something that we conveniently forget. It was the United States that supplied Saddam Hussein with all of the tools he needed to create the dictatorship that he did.
Well, I don't know to what extent that's true. I know there were some contacts in the early 80s.
It's very true. This is all documentable.
Wait a minute. State Department documents indicate that in 1983, then private citizen Rumsfeld, at the behest of President Reagan, met with Hussein, as is well known, and there's photos on CNN, et cetera, trying to establish a little bit of dialogue. Yes, dialogue, Republicans dialogue. In a context where, at that point, the big fear was Iran, and everyone knows what all was going on at the time of that. I don't know, as far as what all went on about, access to chemical technology, selling of organophosphates, et cetera. Well, really, dude, it didn't happen. But as far as us directly providing them weapons, I find that a little hard to believe.
I'm just going to have to end it because we've got to go to the break. It's the truth. Gizmo and Nick, you're up next. 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Feel free to give us a call. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll go quickly to the phones. Welcome Gizmo, who's in Spokane, listening on Sirius Satellite. Gizmo, nice to chat with you. What's up?
Hey, how are you tonight, Tony?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, I know it's a little noisy there. I got this stupid earpiece, and it picks up a lot of the background noise in my truck. But listen, it still amazes me how many people will call up and still not understand, you know, how the Bush administration has lied. I'm wondering, you know, if these are people that are still watching Fox News on a daily basis.
You know what? He's not even watching Fox News, Gizmo. What's happening is that he's one of those people that just doesn't want to believe that your government would be unkind to you, I guess.
Let me try and do it. If he's still listening, here's the deal. Bush made those 16 words, and he backed them up with the British intelligence report, okay? But our own intelligence told Bush that Niger was not supplying yellow cake to Saddam, and that's a fact. And our own intelligence told Bush that the British intelligence was highly suspect, and that's a fact. Now, if it's okay with him that we go to war with Iraq and kill our soldiers based on foreign intelligence and disregard our own intelligence, if that's okay with him, he needs to go live somewhere else. He's the one that's not very patriotic.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I always, you know, and again, we, you know, it is indisputable that we gave Saddam Hussein all of the weaponry, all of the science. We even gave him personnel to build his own machines.
Yeah, we supplied him with the precursors. You know, to all that BX and mustard gas. You know, a precursor to mustard gas is, from what I am told, orange seeds out of oranges. And we give them the technology how to extract the ingredients to make mustard gas. And, you know, that makes us just as culpable of killing and maiming many Iraqis as Saddam. And it amazes me how they don't get that. But anyway, Tony, thanks for your time. I'll let you go here.
Gizmo, thank you, and glad you're out there. I appreciate it. Let's, before we have to run into the break, go to Nick in Jersey. Nick, you had a comment about that caller as well?
Yeah, kind of. But sometimes I'm absolutely amazed at some of the basic facts that never come out anywhere, Tony, not in the mainstream media, not on the Internet, not anyplace. Okay, let's go to Armament 101. Who is top dog in the Middle East?
Who is top dog right now in the Middle East?
Who has been for the last 20 years?
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about Saddam Hussein.
Oh, come on, Tony. The Israelis. I'm talking militarily.
Well, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Militarily. Nobody's even close. Not even remotely close. Maybe the Saudis come in a distant, remote second. And so here we are talking all this BS. Everybody saying, well, Saddam's a threat to the United States. Saddam, at his peak, spent about $1.5 billion a year on defense. And what do we spend at our lowest point? $300 billion? You know, and so it's almost like I'm watching this thing like a farce, because if Saddam was even a remote threat to anybody at any time, the Israelis would have done what they did back in 1981 when they bombed his nuclear reactor.
Hey, listen, the reality is we have much bigger threats than Saddam Hussein.
Excuse my, this is the Mike Malloy show, so I'll use this word. Saddam Hussein, in as far as militarily and a threat to anybody, was a pissant. If you would take Israel's military, right, and substitute it, put it in Iraq, let's say Iraq's military was the same level as Israel's is right now.
Right.
That's been seeing, and if we did the same thing, we were foolish enough to invade that country, you would have been seeing state-of-the-art warfare. We would have thousands of body bags coming home.
Well, we got to ask ourselves, and I got to go to the break, we've got to ask ourselves another question. Where did the president really think this was going to lead? The Carlyle Group's going to protect him? Most likely. Let's take a break. We've got more calls to get to. 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
see the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 33 minutes after the hour, just 27 minutes left to ring it up for tonight. I'll be in tomorrow for Mike. Some of you have written me wanting to know when he'll be back. Apparently he'll be back on Monday. I think they're doing a best of on Friday night. He may be back Friday night, but I'm just not sure about that. Mike had some dental work done. He's recuprating from that. And as you know, as passionate as Mike gets, he needs all his faculties all the time to do that well. And we wish him well. We're going to go back to the phones again. 1-800-825-5937. The email tony@thetonyshow.com. Before I get to the next call, though, my friend John in Santa Fe writes, there's a website people need to go to, vote2impeach.org, vote2impeach.org. As he writes, it goes far beyond lying to Americans in itself, an impeachable act, given the president's sworn duty. He has also violated treaties we are part of, such as the non-preemptive strike, and honoring treaties are part of the Constitution. The email goes on. Just check out vote2impeach.org. Got another one I'll give to you in just a few moments. Let's go back to the phones, though. Welcome, Kim, in Oklahoma City. Kim, a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, man.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a number of things on my mind. But number one on this thing with Iraq. Let's see, through the CIA, USDA money was actually used to build some of the chemical plants. And because Congress found out about it, and they screamed like hell, and the Reagan-Bush team told them basically to shut up. We knew what we were doing. When they first used the chemicals then against the Kurds in the north in 81, or when 88, was it? 88. Once again, there were members of the Senate to try to pass and get a resolution to cut off the funding. And pressures from Reagan Bush were used to the Senate leaders to squash it. Basically, two more times, the Senate tried to cut off funding for to Iraq because of chemical biologics. Donald Rumsfeld, after they used the chemicals against the Iranians, once the Iranians crossed the border, told the press, look, this has nothing to do with our relationship with Iraq and Saddam Hussein. You there?
Yeah, it is just amazing, you know, and I hope the guy that called earlier is listening, Kim, to you right now. There is more than enough compelling evidence to prove that this administration has absolutely raped this society.
If you notice one thing, that even the congressmen or the senators never talk about the corruption that's going on in Iraq by our, quote, contractors, and the fact that Bremer's trying to sell their assets.
Well, you know, and Kim, I mentioned this earlier. You know, there's a bill being considered now about the reconstruction of Iraq, and the Republicans took out of the bill today the language that would make it a prisonable crime to profit off the rebuilding of Iraq.
They took
that language out of the bill just today.
You know, I think they're building. If we want to build a strong campaign against this administration, come election time, these things need to be brought out.
Well, you know, we keep bringing
up. There's a silence even from the Democrat representatives in Congress and in the Senate on this issue.
Well, I would think that after the gubernatorial elections in Kentucky and Mississippi, if the Democrats that are currently holding office don't wake up to the reality that they may be pissing in a paper cup in a couple in a year, they better think again. It's time to get off our asses and become active in the process.
I heard also that there's a thing in the House, H.R., was it 2239 or 2293, that if they can get it passed, would actually require a paper trail on these touch machines or touch voting machines?
Yes, it would be a paper trail. You would vote, and you would actually get a printout of what your vote was that you would carry with you. Somebody's out there has got the information at their fingertips. I don't. It's on the other side of my studio right now. But I'll get that information out, Kim, before we're done this hour.
Yeah, because, and then one thing on that, what I want them to have it, they turn damn computers into nothing but the machine that prints it, and then the print copy goes into the voting, into a box.
That would be a check and balance now, wouldn't it?
That's right. So that you have something you can count if there's a recount.
Yeah, and there would be no hanging chads there, no question about it. Kim, thank you for your call. Yep. I appreciate it. And, again, a lot of smart people out there, a lot of ignorant people out there as well. As a matter of fact, somebody just sent me an email today. It was actually yesterday it was released. A shocking poll. A majority of Americans cannot name a single department in the president's cabinet. If I've got time, I'll get to that in a bit. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937. The email tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go to Dave in Hoboken, New Jersey. Dave, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Tony?
Well, thank you.
Something earlier I thought it was great. I can't think of it verbatim, but you're saying you're sick of hearing people talking about disagreeing or disagreeing about disagreeing, and you want to talk about solutions.
Absolutely.
Not hearing enough in this country about alternative energy sources. We all say, oh, we need alternative energy, we need alternative energy, but no one's doing anything. And, have you ever heard of biodiesel?
Yeah, I have, actually. Actually, I used to host a show on this network in the afternoons, and somebody called and talked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I happened across it the other day on the Internet, reading on bluewaternetwork.org. And this is incredible stuff, and people need to know about it. And I was thinking of doing a documentary, something I do. I'm a producer, and I was thinking I would start doing a documentary on energy. And I just want to put it out there. Anybody wants to send me some info, they're doing anything good with solar or biodiesel, write me at altenergynow@yahoo.
altenergynow@yahoo.com.
Yeah.
He also needs money to do this. Give him some money.
I don't need any money. I don't want any money. I'm cool. I'm researching. I want to know what's out there. People don't know what's going on. And I got to be clear, I'm not looking for any money.
All right.
But,
I'm just trying to help you out.
No, I appreciate it, man, but I'm not there yet. I'll call you when I am.
Okay. You do.
I want to hear people's stories. I want to hear what people are doing. I want to know what people are doing in this country to solve the energy crisis, because all I hear is a lot of rhetoric.
You know, and I don't know if you saw the story that came out today, but GM in 2007 is going to start selling hybrid Yukons and other models of their product.
I mean, that's great. That's in 2007.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
It
certainly
is.
Isn't the solution to the problem.
The American auto industry is stepping lightly in the right direction, and
they're very concerned
with hydrogen, and that's great. But we need something now. We've got a security issue now, and it's coming from oil, and I want to see, you know, if we can cut the flow off of oil from the Middle East to America, if we can break our dependency, I don't think we're going to need troops there.
You know, I just got an email from somebody in Japan, actually, that writes, Bush decided to liberate the oil held down by the oppressive Iraqi sand to lower gasoline prices in an effort to boost the American economy. And by the way, emailer, it's not working. One of the first results of the current war was to lower the price at the pump. Again, not working. With his failed economic policy, this was one of the only ways left to give a little lift to Americans. Again, not working, but it's a beautiful thought anyway, huh? Dave, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to call. Let me know how you do on your research. Yeah, it is always time to talk about solutions. You know, I've decided a long time ago that we do love to talk about problems. We need to talk about solutions. I find that liberals are more solution-oriented when given the opportunity, when given the real opportunity to express themselves without being cut off. And that's really where the dialogue needs to live. Let people say what's on their mind. I mean, you know, I find myself even in situations where I'm on the show and I'm listening to somebody and all of a sudden I hear the music that tells me I'm 30 seconds away from break and I've got to cut people off. There are days that that pisses me off. And, you know, you can't keep them. You got 20 calls waiting, but you begin a dialogue. Let people talk. I don't think that we need to constantly cut people off. You know, I made this comment to somebody just yesterday. You know, sometimes whispering will get somebody's attention a whole lot quicker than yelling. And yelling does nothing but raise the volume, but it doesn't raise the level of conversation. And that's really where we need to be living right now, in solution-oriented, you know, raising the level of conversation beyond just, oh, he didn't lie. Oh, you don't have proof. Yeah, I do, and yeah, he did. No question about it. Listen, something that I wanted to make sure that I brought up tonight, because I need your help with something. The Senate is in the process of considering Senate Bill 722. What Senate Bill 722 would do is basically rewrite the natural supplement industry guidelines for what can be sold and how it can be sold. It is a huge mistake and horribly unnecessary. There is already something called DSHEA. DSHEA came out in 1992. It is a law that puts forward the methods by which products can be tested, what can be said about them, etc., etc. It has never been fully funded. There is also another Senate bill that would fully fund it. You want to call your lawmakers and vote no on S-722. I have a, and I'm going to send you to this website. I have a few websites, but I'm going to send you to my weight loss website, because that's where all of the information is at this point. If you would, please just go to www.tonysweightloss.com, T-O-N-Y-S, weightloss.com. And scroll about a quarter of the way down the screen, you're going to see I wrote a column, and I provided links to contact your elected representatives. I've given you a link to actually read the bill. It is unnecessary, and it will be harmful. It will affect everything from vitamin C to any other natural supplement you can imagine. It is a nightmare, and it cannot be allowed to go forward. The reason I bring it up tonight is just yesterday. The state of New York has now joined the state of Illinois in banning the sale of ephedra. And I loved our biased media. This is the way the AP story opens. New York became the second state Monday to ban ephedra, an over-the-counter supplement linked to scores of deaths. That's a lie. It's a lie. There aren't scores of deaths surrounding ephedra. The law was signed by Governor George Pataki. It includes a fine up to $500 for each sale of the supplement. Ephedra prescription sales are not affected. Well, it's rarely prescribed because it's an all-natural supplement. When people abuse anything, there's going to be a problem. Ephedra is just the darling supplement of the day. A couple of years ago, it was Kava Kava. Now, I could go on and on and on. The reality is, we don't need S-722. I'm begging you. Just go to tonysweightloss.com. Click on my article on S-722. If you really feel compelled to get involved, here's a good issue to get involved with. You want to start with the minor leagues? Just call your elected representatives and tell them that you don't want them to vote yes for 722. It's that simple. It is that simple. Do me that favor, please. It is an absolute waste of time. It is not necessary. Just so you know, other states that are considering banning ephedra are Massachusetts, Nebraska, New Jersey, and Hawaii. There is no medically sound reason for them to do this. And 722 will affect the sale of every over-the-counter supplement that you now enjoy and use. They're using, again, ephedra as the darling. That's the draw, but trust me, folks, it won't stop there. 1-800-825-5937 is the number. tony@thetonyshow.com. As I'm sure you're all aware by now, the president today signed the partial birth abortion ban. It's a bunch of crap as well. There is no medical term called partial birth abortion. There should be no ban. This will go toward to a court fight if it hasn't already, since I have been on the air tonight. I don't think that we will ever see a partial birth abortion ban become law in this country. One of the things that this did include, and President Clinton vetoed, by the way, this legislation twice, is that it doesn't protect the health of the mother. That's the one thing this this law does not do. There's no way a court will uphold it. And so you need to be aware of this. And he did sign it today. It will go. It will go before a court if it hasn't already. And, you know, this guy's just so out of touch. And I guess I understand why he's doing it. He's still trying to placate the religious right, who, by the way, have really turned their back on this president. I don't for a moment believe that the true conservatives of the Republican Party can't stand this president right now. He's got to reach out to him, and this is one of his ways of doing it. He will make, again, if Howard D. does end up being the party's candidate, he will make a huge issue out of what's called the gay marriage issue in the state of Vermont. Let me just get to a couple of emails. Chuck writes, Kucinich is the mad, too bad man, too bad this country does not have the guts to vote him in. I plan to vote Democrat, which I always have, unless the nomination goes to Edwards, Gephardt, or Lieberman. Unfortunately, I would just as soon watch this nation tank under a second term for the Bush bastard as I would watch these three panders get a very lame nomination from a very lame Democratic Party. Chuck, can't agree with all of that. Sorry, buddy. You know, again, the story, a lot of you have sent me the story that ABC reported tonight that the war in Iraq could have been averted had this president allowed it to happen. And there's reason to believe, and a judge already has banned the partial birth abortion ban. I'll get to that more after the break. Let's take one more quick break here. We'll wrap things up tonight in the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truffiano. Stay where you're at. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Yeah.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman Program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Marianne Williamson Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm glad you're with me. I will be on every Monday through Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Laughlin.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. We get ready to wrap things up on this Wednesday evening program. A federal judge in Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska, blocked implementation of a federal ban on certain late-term abortions Wednesday, less than an hour after President Bush signed the ban into law. U.S. District Judge Richard Kopf issued a temporary restraining order against the law after a three-hour hearing on a lawsuit in Nebraska brought by abortion rights supporters. He said his order would apply only to the four doctors who filed the lawsuit, but the ruling could extend beyond Nebraska because the physicians are licensed to practice in Alabama, Georgia, Iowa, New York, South Carolina, and Virginia. The judge cited concerns that the law did not contain an exception for preserving the health of the woman seeking the abortion. Hear, hear. Bush signed the measure into law today at a ceremony in Washington, saying that for years, quote, a terrible form of violence has been directed against children who are inches from birth while the law looked the other way. What an ass. The law would ban certain types of abortion procedures on fetuses that are roughly 14 weeks or older that abortion opponents call partial birth abortion. We did a show on this not long ago, and we had an OBGYN nurse call and say that in the, I don't even remember how many years she had been an OBGYN nurse, the only time they performed this is when the mother's health was at risk. Under the new law, a woman could not undertake the procedure even if her health was at risk or the child would be born with ailments. The judge had expressed serious reservations about the new law during the hearing, saying, quote, "It seems to me the law is highly suspect, if not a per se violation of the Constitution." He also said that, quote, it had a serious vagueness problem, and that the congressional record of debate on the bill did not reflect an objective presentation of facts. God bless you. If the act takes effect, physicians across the country will risk imprisonment for providing abortion care in accordance with their best medical judgment, was a quote by Priscilla Smith, an attorney for the Center for Reproductive Rights, which filed the lawsuit. Justice Department lead attorney Anthony Coppolino told the judge that he would show deference to Congress findings that the abortion procedure has not been studied enough to prove it is necessary. So that is good news. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. I will be back tomorrow night, Thursday night. Mike will be back most likely on Monday. In the meantime, it's been a pleasure, and we'll see you tomorrow night. This has been the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing